Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He has so many wonderful things to say and share to us. If you pay attention to the Lord, you can learn things you can't learn any other way. When you're trying to learn who He is, trying to learn His ways, when you're putting forth effort to learn, that's when you're going to learn. You know, that's why Jesus said, knock, seek, and ask. If you want to know something from the Lord, you have to have determination. Your determination is against the world and it's for God. The world is trying to hold you back like crabs in a barrel. But you have to be persistent. And the reason you have to be persistent is because the world's trying to stop you from learning. It is not that God is not trying to give you an answer. There is interference. And this interference comes from the world system. And it's been plaguing man since the time he sinned. Since the time Adam fell into sin. Sin is terrible. Adam didn't, he did it on purpose. But he didn't know where it was going to lead him. He didn't know where it was going to take him. He didn't know what disaster would happen afterwards. But thanks be to God. God has given us His grace and His mercy and great wisdom to get out of it. But you have to want it. And the reason people don't get out of their trouble is because they don't want too bad enough. They don't fight to win. They fight for relief. Sometimes people just want relief. They're not trying to get to the root cause of the problem. So God can't teach them that. They're praying for relief. I pray for relief. I sought the Lord to try to get relief. And then I thought about it. I said, I saw how other ministers had lingering problems and it hindered them in life. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to live beyond that. I had a visual because of my parents. I wanted to live like they did. They didn't seem to have all the trouble I had. And I'm sure they had their own struggles. But they seem to be focused and they seem to enjoy life with great joy. Now to me, it was what they did was normal. I thought that's what I expected. I thought that's how I envisioned my life to be. Now I wanted my life to be different than theirs, but I wanted to have the same peace and joy they had, and I wanted to have a good relationship like they had. And I thought that would be normal. I thought it would be simple. But it was not. The world interferes with everything you do, every thought you think, and everywhere you intend to go in life. Every plan you have, the world is steadfast against it. You know, if you want to grow and develop, and you work as under God on your job, people are not going to like it because they feel like you're making them look bad. If you're in college and you're trying to study, your friends are going to say, "Let's go to this party." They're doing, you know, they'll tell you all the crazy things they're doing at the party, how much fun they're going to have. Let's go to the game. And you got to study. You got to get this exam in. You got your scholarship going and you don't want to lose it fooling around. And then, you know, the professors talk fast. You have to have recorders. You got to have batteries. It's so much against your success that you got to push forward. So it is with knowing God. The interference didn't come from God. It came from Satan. Wrong teaching that'll get you nowhere. It takes so long to overcome wrong beliefs. But when you go back to what God did in the first place, I like easy. I like to understand things in a simple way. Look at what God did in the first place. when that was, you know, Satan couldn't fulfill what he did. That's his character. He didn't have to make this world. He didn't have to restore it. You know, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And then in verse 2, and the earth was without form, void, and darkness on the face of the deep. Something happened, folks. A disaster happened between verse 1 and 2 of Genesis chapter 1. In verse 2, you see the earth in a devastated state. And then you see God restoring it. And he did everything in the most perfect order. And then he made man last. And then he told man what to do. If you follow what God did in the first place, that's his character. If you continue on, you're going to get to know him. And it's good. You're going to learn things you could not have learned any other way. Beautiful life. But the reason you have to knock, seek, and ask is because the world is trying to interfere with your intelligence, with your knowledge, with your prosperity. And then in the world calls prosperity selfish lavishness. Selfish lavishness is poverty. It doesn't matter how, if you try to make a god out of what you own, selfish lavishness is poverty. It stops sowing and reaping. It stops the process of sowing and reaping to your favor. Selfish lavishness. You're selfish. You get everything you can for yourself. You lavish yourself. And you don't help anybody. Disobedience is the first cause of poverty. That's not prosperity. Real prosperity serves mankind, like we talked about in the other few broadcasts. It's helping. It's getting strong, being a blessing, and going back to help your brothers be a blessing. Living according to the knowledge and wisdom of God. Not cheating people. Not taking what others have worked for. Not being covetous. Those are things you need to repent from. You got to lose what you've gotten wrong. If you sowed wrong, you'll reap what you sow. If you're selfish and you lavish yourself and you don't care about other people, that's not the heart of God. That's poverty. And those kind of actions comes with a mindset. It takes a mindset to do that. And it's a contrary way. It won't work. And everybody who tried it, they lead to disaster. They destroy their relationships. Now the world will look up to you. They'll applaud you for being selfish and lavish. They think you're wise. I told you, the world is against God's knowledge. It's a different system. It's backwards. So you can't use the definitions of the world to describe God and his character. You have to look at what God did in the first place. And then you have to look at what he did in the duration, all the way up to Revelation. It's the same thing. We saw God divide the light from the darkness. He wanted the light, he chose it, and he rejected the darkness. You got to do the same thing. A lot of Christians fail because they try to receive the light, the blessings, the good things of God. They fail to reject the darkness. You can't just stop sinning and forget about the sin. You have to kill the root. Now, God put these things in our face. If you want a beautiful yard, you got to pull up the root. I used to watch Mr. Powell, Mr. Matthews, Mr. Smith. They would go in their yard and, you know, they didn't buy a lot of fancy weed killers all the time. They went out there and by hand pulled the root. Their grass was so beautiful. You know, well, Mr. Smith had trees in his yard. He just kept his cut nice, but he kept a nice lawn. He had the kind of grass that grow in the shade. But Mr. Matthews had Zoya, and so did Mr. Power. I think he had Zoya too. But I would see him as I ride my minibike. He pulled the weeds up. He wanted his yard to look beautiful. You have to pull the problems, that the things that cause stress and problems in your life, you have to attack it at the root source. Now, when you cut the grass, it all looks good. But when you pull the weeds up, see, weeds grow faster than grass. It's just like the word of the Lord. All the wrong thinking, they're like weeds. And they breed interference from you learning God. And the word of God is like the beautiful zoysia grass or Bermuda grass. It looks beautiful. But then when the weeds pop up, it's a hindrance to your eyes. You see it and you don't like it. And they make your yard look raggedy and poverty stricken. But when you pull those ugly weeds out of the way, your lawn looks prosperous and blessed. Just like your heart. When you fill your heart with God's word, then the knowledge of God increases. It's easier for you to learn. It's easier for you to walk in love. And remember, we don't walk in love in our strength. We supply. It's just like, go back to the candlestick. We receive the blessings of God, and we transfer to others. We love with history. That was my revelation when I almost got in a fight at my weakest point. The Lord, he showed me how we can supply others with his love. We receive his love, and we love others with his love. And it's a tremendous blessing. So when you continue the process, it works. Works good. But the word of God is there to supply you. So the enemy can't stop you from learning the word of God. You know, in the old days, the rich people could read and write. So they transferred the books to Latin. No, it was a language people didn't use anymore. And then the priest could control what people thought. And the king had it done. You know, that's why Martin Luther had to do a reformation. It got out of hand. What started out good, a lot of the peasants didn't read. And the wealthy could read. They had education. And it stayed that way for a long time in many countries until America was born. In America, we made it mandatory that everybody get an education. I mean, we had our crazy struggles, but we had slavery. They didn't, you know, let the slaves read. But there were people who taught the slaves to read. And they read the Bible. And they prayed for freedom and got it. When you study God's word, you can do what you normally could not do. When you study God, the world, you can overcome the world. And see, they sang the word in the slave fields when they picked cotton and corn and whatever. They prayed for freedom for their generations. And remember, your prayers avail much. Everybody's prayers avail much. They believe one day God could get them out of this. They read about the Exodus. They knock, they seek. They knock, they sought God, and they asked for their deliverance, and they got it. My great-grandfather, Jasper Rasmus Nall, he had a relationship with the Lord. Because people who could believe God out of slavery, he was the generation that got delivered. And in his book, he used to talk to his grandmother. And his grandmother taught him well. And she had a relationship with God, so he had a relationship with God. And so did many others. They had a relationship. They weren't just wilderness wandering type folks. They love God. A lot of people are like the people who wander the wilderness. They never get to know God because they won't knock, seek, and ask. They won't take God at his word and learn him. Daniel did not let the enemy interfere with the knowledge he was praying for. was persistent. He went on a fast until he got his answer. And they called it a Daniel fast. He ate no pleasant bread and no wine. And, you know, he sought the Lord with persistence. He prayed for his answer. He was going to understand that dream he saw. Some dreams I understand. Some things I have to knock, seek, and ask. And until the Lord reveals things to me. In my personal life, I have to ask. Now, the things that I have to minister comes to me. The word of the Lord will come to me saying something. Rivers of living water. But when I want my personal answers answered, my personal concerns answered, I knock, seek, and ask. And I get to a point, I'm going to know this. I'm going to learn this. And I always do. It's a blessing. You can do it too. And the more you love and the more you devote yourself to knowing God, you get to see things as they really are. Now, the last broadcast, I mentioned something about how when God gave his people the promised land. I asked my mother once, I said, Lord, did they ever get to the promised land? Because I always heard Daddy preaching about the Exodus. He never got to the promised land. He stayed in, you know, always, that's just how it happened. At that time, I heard a lot of ministry about the Exodus. And then they made the movie Moses. They never got to the promised land. You know, Charlton Heston played Moses. I said, well, wait a minute. Did they ever get to the promised land? She said, yeah, they did. And as an adult, I studied it for myself. Now, when Joshua carried them to the promised land, Moses ran out of time and died. Because of disobedience, the children of Israel didn't go. The 10 spies said they couldn't do it. 2 spies said they could. 12 spies were sent. Joshua and Caleb said it wouldn't be a problem to take the land. Because they were looking at God. The other 10 were looking at the giants. And there were giants. And they did look like grasshoppers compared to them giants. But with God on their side, they'd easily win. Now anyway, just like they had to drive out the Canaanites and remove them from the land, I used to wonder, why did God have to do it that way? Why did they have to drive them out? It goes back to you and me. As we learn God's word and receive his blessings and promotion in life and all the wonderful things that he's given us, included in the kingdom, we have to drive out the darkness. We have to be like Mr. Powell and Mr. Matthew and Mr. Smith and pull the weeds out of our yard. We have to drive the enemy back. Every false thought that comes to us is an attack. And we have to treat it as an attack. Now, to pull the weeds of the lies of Satan out of our heart, just like they pull the weeds out of their grass, we have to learn some things. Now, John made it simple. He said that the world system is comprised of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So everything that causes you misery comes from one of those three things. So what I did, I said, Lord, I want to see women like you see them. I want every woman beside my wife to be like Joan, Gail, and Karen. They're my sisters. And I want to see them as daughters of God. How do I do it? I had to pray this way to learn how the logic of God. And unlearn the logic of Satan. Well, you can't unlearn it. You see it for what it is, and you destroy it. I listened to Charles Capps. He talked about confessions. And I learned that you can control your will by confessing the Word of God. You can control your emotions, how you see things, how you receive things. You can get rid of the interference. It's just like when we used to watch TV in the old days that had the antenna. Sometimes the program come on you wanted to see, and you had to play with those antennas till it get rid of the interference. If it rained a lot, sometimes you didn't get good reception. If you lived too far away from the station, you didn't get good reception. So you had to move the antennas a little bit to get good reception. And then you could watch Gilligan's Island and laugh at the TV. So when you, same thing with the Word of God. When you receive God's Word, all the logic of Satan is interfering with how you receive God's Word. It's like weeds in your yard. And I said, Lord, how do I kill this? I don't want this kind of problem. And that, at that time, I didn't even know to call it interference. I said, I want to be free from everything that Satan is doing. How do I do it? How does Thurston Hammond get this out of his life? And he taught me principles and things I needed to know. He taught me things I really needed to know, and it worked. And then he taught me about people and how they're designed. He taught me about races and different attributes he gave each race. And I got a love for each race. You know, I like Oriental art. I was at a Chinese restaurant and I was looking at that art. I said, Lord, what attribute did you give Oriental people? He said, they're the most innovative people in the world. And man, that was good to know. I enjoy the knowledge of God. You know, innovation means you can take an idea and make it better. You can take an idea and make it better. And I'm going to tell you right now, they make some of the best cars in the world. As a mechanic, the Japanese cars are some of the best cars, and Korean too. The Japanese and Korean cars are some of the best cars in the world. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for everybody else. American cars are great. German cars are great. English cars, they're wonderful. But you can take a Toyota or a Honda and Nissan, and people that don't have take care of cars keep driving. They're made right. And so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what about black people? He said, they're the most creative people in the world. I said, wow, that's awesome. I said, well, what about white people? He said, they're the most organized. I said, man, they sure are. I love people. I love God. If you love God, you love man. I said, what about brown people? They're the most loving people in the world. It made me think, you know. And then red men, and, you know, American Indians, they're the most trusting people in the world. All of these attributes are very important. And the enemy tries to exploit what is. Now, he didn't say that black people were the only creative people in the world. He said the most. He didn't say white people were the only organized people. He said the most. That's the edge he gave them. Now, a lady named Mom Powell talked about race too. That was a riot in the days of, in the days where desegregation happened. At Woodlawn High School, she didn't live too far from the school, and she asked the Lord about why all the riots, why can't the races get along? He said that, and he told her that they would, the races wouldn't come together until they saw him, basically. But before he said that, he said, how many types of men are there? And she said, white men, black men, red men, yellow men, and brown men. And then he said, well, how many types of soil are there? And he said, you know, black soil, white sand, yellow clay, and red clay, and brown soil. And then he said, until they see him, till he returned, till they see him, they would act that way. People lack knowledge, and they don't appreciate the differences. And the devil, in everybody's eyes, he makes them look he tried to get people to look down on other races or up to other races. You know, it but the Lord said, no race is superior, no race is inferior. They're all of him. It's what people do with their life. And it's like this. If one race is lacking and not following God, the everybody else suffers with them. But when everybody's doing well, we all do well. Some people are so angry and miserable, they'll never believe that. But that's what, these are the kind of things that help me to go forward. I learned to uproot the weeds, the things that causes the, you can't go forward in love believing the worst about people. Acting like Satan made them. Satan didn't make anybody. God made everybody. And everybody has a part to play. If they fail, we fail with them. Now, God gave us success, you know, but we fail in part because we don't have their contribution to help win. Now, Satan is different. He's using all his dirty angels, which are demons and evil spirits. He uses them to try to conquer us. And they work together. They're one in their deception. The same spirit that would have a white man, you know, a Klan member or somebody to hang a black man, when that generation died, that same spirit that was on the white man can get on the black man and cause him and influence him to sell drugs. The same spirit that was on Hitler when he died could get on Jewish people and cause them to reject God. The same spirit that was on Ahab could have gotten on Hitler. That's how he works. The same people are being played. When the Lord taught me these things, I saw humanity differently. Now, I set out to love people, and that put me on the right track. And when he taught me things about people, I had more compassion for my brothers and sisters. Not just the ones that love me, but everybody, even my enemies. Even my enemies, God, they have something. God gave them something. And all the things that they did wrong worked to interfere with what God had for them. That's why Jesus wants us to love others just like he loves us. People are not our enemy. Satan is. They can operate. They can do the works of the enemy. They can even be an enemy. But they are salvageable. Satan is not. And if they get saved, even the worst people that do the worst deeds, when they get saved, they love God more because they were forgiven much. And when you remember, when you get saved, what you once loved, you now hate. What you once hated, you now love. You once hated God, now you love him. Now you hate Satan. And with the right training, you'll go forward. If people were only knock, seek, and ask, they would live with more intensity. If the children of Israel had driven out the Canaanites, the culture would have changed. If they stayed in the love of God and driven them out, the enemy, there would not have been an enemy to rise against them. They would have gotten stronger, and then people would have saw a full plan of God. And the people that were driven out would have taken root somewhere else. Look back at Israel, got blessed, and they would have served God too. Because the real enemy was not the people, it was the witchcraft that they had gotten themselves into. The real enemy was the spirits behind their sorcery and their witchcraft and their idolatry. And if you could have divided Satan from them, they would have been just as wonderful as Israel. Even Sodom and Gomorrah, if the works that Jesus did in Israel would have happened back then, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. And one nation did, Nineveh did. People can, if you can divide them from their sin, they can be wonderful people. And we do that by living the light of God's word. Now I'm way out of time. I got to go to work. I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.